Israel, come in my Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Case of Ivar Haug, was written by Morton Wishengrad.
Harlem, New York City. The time, January 1944, 6 months before D-Day. The place, a saloon.
What did you say, buddy?
I said that Adolf Hitler is a very great man.
Uh-huh. And, what else did you say?
I said that I, Ivar Haug, I approve what he's doing to the Jews. What do you say?
You really want to know?
What do you say? This!
I got that chair! Put that chair down!
Sergeant, his name is Ivar Haug. Says he's a seaman. I arrested him for creating a public disturbance.
Haug,
how do you want?
You heard what the officer said.
Sure.
You want to deny it?
No!
Pretty arrogant, aren't you?
Why not?
What's your address?
You've got my draft card. It's written down.
What's your address?
The Olympia Hotel.
That's not the address written on your draft card.
Isn't it?
Are you an American citizen?
I am a citizen of Norway.
Yeah.
And I am a member of the Nazi party of Vidkun Quisling.
I didn't ask that information.
No, Sergeant. I tell it to you free of charge. Any more questions?
For me, Haug? No. I think the next question you'll hear will be asked by the FBI.
Haug, you'll correct me if I'm in error. Our investigation shows that you sailed to America as a member of the crew of an Allied ship which exploded in the Gulf of Mexico. Is that correct?
It is correct.
What was the cause of the explosion?
It is a mystery. Nobody knows.
Haug, where did that explosion take place?
In the engine room.
Where on board the ship did you work?
In the engine room.
Haug, is it true that when you were picked up, you stated to one of your rescuers, good, one less ship for the Allies?
I am a member of the party of Quisling. I have taken an oath of allegiance to Adolf Hitler.
And you don't deny you sent that?
I don't deny.
Before I go any further, I want to remind you that you're not required to make any statement. But anything you say may be used against you.
Thank you.
Haug, why don't you have a draft classification card?
I am not going to fight against Hitler. Go ahead, write it down.
What is your address?
Lots of places. Hotels, rooming houses. All over.
You gave the Selective Service Board an address at 25 South Street.
Sure. At the Siemens Institute. I pick up mail there.
I see. Your local Selective Service Board sent you a questionnaire, care of the Siemens Institute.
I never got it.
If you had gotten it, would you have filled it out, returned it?
The FBI asks a lot of questions.
All right, Haug. We're moving you.
Where to?
The Federal House of Detention.
What for?
You'll find out in the United States District Court.
Blonde, blue-eyed, arrogant. Almost the perfect stereotype of the Hollywood Nazi. On March 17, 1944, Ivar Haug was charged with evasion of the Selective Service Act and taken before federal judge Simon Rifkind.
Ivar Haug, you have a lawyer?
No.
Have you any money to hire a lawyer?
No.
In that case, the court will appoint a lawyer for you.
Okay. But I want a Nazi lawyer.
This court doesn't know any Nazi lawyers. Court will give you 1 week to find one. Turn the prisoner to the Federal House of Detention. Ivar Haug.
That's me.
1 week ago, you declared that you wanted a Nazi lawyer.
That's right.
Have you found one?
No.
In that case, the court will appoint a lawyer for you.
Judge Rifkind.
What is it?
Not a Jew lawyer. I don't want a Jew lawyer.
The court doesn't know any Jew lawyers, or Protestant lawyers, or Catholic lawyers. The court knows only good lawyers and bad lawyers. I will try to appoint a good lawyer for you. Will the clerk of the court please inform Mr. Jacob J. Rosenblum that I should like to speak with him?
Your Honor, there are 14 lawyers present in the courtroom. Why does the court call me?
Because, Mr. Rosenblum, you were a United States attorney under George Z. Medallion and chief assistant under District Attorney Thomas E. Dewey. I told the defendant I would see that he had a good lawyer. Will you volunteer?
No, Your Honor. I refuse to volunteer. I won't willingly defend a self-admitted Nazi.
In that case, Mr. Rosenblum, the court directs that you act as counsel for Ivar Haug.
May I make a statement to the court?
You may, sir.
In view of the defendant's expressed desire for a Nazi lawyer and one not of the Jewish faith, I want him to know that my name is Jacob J. Rosenblum, that my name does not belie my religion, and that I am the president of a synagogue. But since I have been directed by the court to serve as his counsel, I promise that I shall do everything in my power to protect his legal interests. Your Honor, in order to prepare the case for trial, I request an adjournment.
Adjournment granted.
The United States of America versus Ivar Haug. There is a sentence in the Talmud. By three things is the world preserved: by truth, by justice, and by peace. In March 1944, there was no peace, but there was truth. And truth always serves the end of justice.
Haug, I want you to give me all the facts.
What for? I am a Nazi and your name is Rosenblum.
We'll talk about that some other time. The government charges you with willful and deliberate violation of the Selective Service Act.
How much are you going to charge me?
You couldn't pay me to defend you. I wouldn't touch your money with a 10-foot pole.
It's nothing but a trick.
Trying to control myself. I want nothing better than...
Go ahead and try it.
Don't tempt me, Haug. Now look, there's something I want you to know. All my time and services are free. The time and the services of my two partners, William Francis Corson and Edwin F.S. Silk. Mr. Corson's a Protestant. Mr. Silk is a Catholic. I'm a Jew. The three of us are going to defend you because we're Americans. Maybe you can't understand that. Maybe I don't give a tinker's damn whether you do or not. Now, you better keep a civil tongue in your head and start giving me the facts.
Hey, Shlomo Rabba min Shemayo v'chayim oleinu v'yal kol Yisrael v'imru amein. Bo se shalom v'imramov hu yaseh shalom. Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'yimru, Amen.
Amen. Before anyone leaves, I'd like to urge you all to be present tomorrow at 8:30 so that we can have a minion for morning prayers.
All right, John. Rosenblum, I want to talk to you a minute.
Oh, sure, Joe.
It's about that man you're defending.
What about him?
Do you have to defend him?
I'm a lawyer.
You're a human being?
Joe, a lawyer takes an oath. He has a duty.
You've got a duty to yourself.
Let's talk about it some other time.
I've been saving it up. I want to talk now. Take Levine and Coopersmith. They've already lost two boys in the war. They come every day to say the Kaddish in a synagogue whose president spends his time defending a Nazi.
That's putting it unfairly, Joe.
I'll put it better. I've got a sister and a brother. They used to live in Poland. Rosenblum, tell me where they live now. Tell me if they're dead or alive. Tell me to shut up and to start saying the Kaddish for them.
Joe, I'm a lawyer. The duty.
I'll tell you your duty. Go out and give more blood to the Red Cross. Fight the enemy. Don't help him.
Look, you're not telling me anything I don't know. You're not telling me anything my wife doesn't tell me or that I don't tell myself.
Then go to that Nazi you're defending, that accomplice of murderers. Smash his face in.
Joe, I'm going to see that he gets justice.
The kind of justice he gave my brother and sister in Poland?
No. The kind of justice that you and I believe in.
That's sentimental bunk. He's your enemy.
That's why, Joe. There's no merit in seeing that your friend receives justice. The merit is to see that your enemy receives justice.
I'll write it down on a postcard and mail it out for New Year's. Repeat it slowly. I want to make sure I don't miss a word.
I don't have to repeat it, Joe. It's in the Bible and in the Bill of Rights. In the name of God, Joe, do you think it's easy?
Are you Mr. Rosenblum?
That's right, miss.
I brought the registration of the man you asked about. Here it is.
Oh, may I see it, please?
Of course. Excuse me for asking, but are you the man who worked with Tom Dewey during the rackets investigation in New York?
I guess I am. Why?
Well, none of my business, but what are you doing helping somebody
I know to be a Nazi?
That's right, Mr. Rosenblum.
Well, he's been indicted for willfully and deliberately violating the Selective Service Law. Admittedly, he's a Nazi, and he's not much good. Regardless of how many laws he may have violated, I don't think he violated this law.
What's the difference?
The difference is between Abraham Lincoln and Adolf Hitler. Miss, I want you to spell the name that's signed on this registration.
I-V-A-R-H-A... I can't make out that third letter. These foreign handwritings are tough.
This Selective Service Board sent official documents to this man. What name was used?
Well, let's see. We sent the questionnaire to Ivar Hang.
To whom, miss?
Ivar Hang. H-A-N-G.
Hmm. And where did you send that mail?
To the address given here. The Siemens Institute, 25 South Street. Is it important?
Yes. Tomorrow the case goes before another judge, the trial judge. I rather think he'll find it important.
In the case of the United States of America versus Ivar Hogg.
Members of the jury, this is an indictment in two counts against Ivar Hogg. First, for failing to keep his Selective Service Board advised at all times of an address where mail could reach him. And second, for unlawfully and knowingly failing and neglecting to fill out, complete, and return his Selective Service questionnaire. Does counsel wish to interrogate the jury?
I do, Your Honor. I wish to say to the jury that under our law, persons are tried. Not Protestants, not Catholics, not Jews, not whites, not Negroes, but persons. Does the jury understand that?
Yes, sir. That's right.
My name is Jacob J. Rosenblum. It happens that the name of the government prosecutor is K. Bertram Friedman. Mr. Friedman and I ask you, please keep our names out of the picture. No prejudice, no bias. I am an assigned lawyer, joined voluntarily by my associates. We are trying to discharge our duty. If Ivar Haug is guilty, We want you to say it because the facts say it. If he is not guilty, we want you to say that the government has failed to establish his guilt. Ivar Haug, a person, is on trial. Let us not do here what they do over there. Is the jury agreed on that?
Yes, sir. Yes,
Your Honor, no challenge. The jury is acceptable to the defendant.
The government's attorney?
The jury is satisfactory to the government. I want to add to the statement of defense counsel. My name happens to be Friedman. I'm attached to the office of United States Attorney John F.X. McGowan. Names and religion are not important in this courtroom. We are agreed the defendant is to be given a fair trial, that he is to be prosecuted on the evidence and nothing else. The government is ready, Your Honor.
On the limestone hills of Dover and in the 100 channel ports, the armies of America were poised for the fateful blow against Adolf Hitler. In the Southern District of New York, the government of the United States began its case against one of Adolf Hitler's loyal followers. On the second day of the trial, counsel for the defense introduced as a witness the mail clerk of the Siemens Institute, who, being duly sworn, testified as follows.
What is your official position?
Well, I work in the United States Post Office at the Siemens Institute.
Now, as I understand it, the Siemens Institute is a mailing address for hundreds of transient seamen.
I'd say thousands and thousands.
When you receive a letter, what do you do with it?
We put it in the proper box.
Now, if a letter came addressed to someone called H-A-U-G, where would it go?
In the file under H-A-U. We have separate files for H-A-I, H-A-L, H-A-N, and so on.
Mm-hmm. I show you a letter addressed to Ivar Hang, H-A-N-G. Would this letter go into a box in which you kept mail under H-A-U?
No, never.
And those files or boxes are looked over regularly?
At least every week.
And if a mistake is made, is it corrected?
Oh, yes, sir. A letter addressed to Ivar Hang could never go into the box of Ivar Hog.
Now, many of your seamen are foreigners.
They are.
And they speak with decided accents.
Yes, sir.
Couldn't you be the one to make a mistake?
Oh, no, sir. We never go by the pronunciation of a name. We always have the seaman produce his seaman certificate. Every letter of the name must correspond, or else the man doesn't get his mail.
And so if Ivar Haug came and asked for his mail, and that mail had been erroneously addressed to Ivar Hang, then he couldn't get it?
Never in a million years.
Thank you. The defendant moves to dismiss count one and count two of the indictment on the ground that the government has failed to supply the proof required by law to sustain the allegation of willful and deliberate violation of the Selective Service Act.
Motion denied.
Exception?
Exception is noted.
The summation of defense counsel lasted for 3 hours. The presentation was meticulous, cogent, and impressive.
Ours is a government of laws and not of men. And our laws apply with equal effect and mercy to every person charged with the commission of a crime, regardless of his personal beliefs. Can the government prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Ivar Haug willfully and deliberately violated the Selective Service law? He did register. After that, it was up to the government to find him. I ask your honor to charge that it is a commonly accepted fact that after one registers, the registrant waits to hear from his local board by a letter addressed to him and not to anyone else.
The court declines so to charge.
The jury interrupted its deliberation several times to return to the court with questions relating to the Selective Service law. Finally, they returned a third time.
Mr. Foreman, have you agreed on a verdict?
Yes, sir, we have.
What is the verdict, please?
Jury finds the defendant guilty on both counts as charged in the indictment.
Your Honor?
Yes, counsel.
I make the usual motion to set the verdict aside.
Denied. Ivar Haug, is there anything you wish to say?
I want to appeal.
That is your right. Mr. Rosenblum?
Yes, Your Honor. The defendant wishes to appeal. I heard him, Your Honor.
Will you continue to serve as his counsel?
No, Your Honor.
Under the law, he's entitled to an appeal.
He is, sir. But let someone else serve as his counsel. I promised Judge Rifkind I would do my best to protect him. I think you will agree that I have discharged my duty.
I believe that the jury's verdict is wrong, but I have satisfied my conscience. I wash my hands of Ivar Hauk. Hello?
Mr. Rosenblum, this is the Legal Aid Society. You handle the case of Ivar Hauk?
Oh, that's right.
I'd like to compliment you on your presentation.
That's very kind of you.
Hauk has written to us. Mr. Rosenblum, will you handle the appeal?
No. Ivar Hauk is no longer my responsibility. For the next 3 years, he's going to sit in a federal prison and get 3 square meals a day, movies, books, occupational therapy. He'll read in the newspapers and hear over the radio how American soldiers are dying while he sits safely behind bars. I'm afraid I can't weep for him.
You won't reconsider?
No. And I can't think of anything to make me.
Mr. Rosenblum, this is the United States Court of Appeal. The appellate judge wishes to see you.
Sir, every instinct in me protests against defending Ivar Hauk.
Mr. Rosenblum, I ask you again. Will you offer services?
I must respectfully decline, sir.
In that case, Mr. Rosenblum, the court directs you to serve.
But, Your Honor...
Yes, Mr. Rosenblum?
Nothing, sir. Since I have been directed by the court, I will do everything in my power for the appellant.
This is an American story. A story of 3 lawyers named Jacob J. Rosenblum, William Francis Corson, and Edwin F. X. Silk, a Catholic, a Protestant, and a Jew, who were joined to defend a Nazi whom they equally detested. Why? Because justice is an American duty. Had Ivar Hauk been a hero of Valley Forge instead of the personification of Nazism, he could not have received a more powerful defense. The appeal was closely reasoned. It was reinforced by every argument of logic and legal precedent. No, there was no great relish for the task. A masterly brief was submitted to the United States Court of Appeals. And after due deliberation, the court answered.
Surely the defendant, Ivar Hauk, was not among those who, by birth or adoption, can be said morally to owe allegiance to the United States, however he may have been enmeshed in the coils of its law. Judgment reversed.
Ivar Hauk, what do you want?
The court has declared you free. We don't want you here. You're not going to prison. You're being deported. Sent back to Norway on the first ship that will take you.
Observe now the inscrutable workings of justice. Had the conviction of Ivar Hauk been sustained, a Nazi would have been taken to the warmth and the safety of the United States prison in Atlanta. But the Court of Appeals declared him free, and therefore an enemy of America, was returned to his native land. The final chapter in the case of Ivar Hauk was written in the subway of New York. It chanced many months later that Jacob J. Rosenblum met United States Attorney K. Bertram Friedman.
I haven't seen you, Rosenblum, since I left the government service to enter private practice.
That's right. It's been a long time.
Got some information the other day that might interest you.
That's all.
Yes. Remember Ivar Hauk?
I'll never forget him.
That's right, Rosenblum. You never will. I've just been informed that when Hauk reached Norway, he was taken into custody.
As a quisling?
That's right. He was arrested as a betrayer of the Norwegian people. He was tried and found guilty. They hanged him.
All human justice is relative. Only the judgment of God is absolute. The case of Ivar Hauk, a study in irony. Perhaps now at the Siemens Institute in New York, there is a letter waiting. A letter addressed to Ivar Hauk.
Ivar Hauk.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Case of Ivar Haug, was written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Ivar Haug was Leon Janney. Len Sterling was the narrator. Jacob J. Rosenblum was played by Louis Van Ruten. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.